broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for November the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're grateful for the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. We reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, still available online at libertyroundtable.com. We talked about Democrats take House, GOP increases their control of the Senate. We talked about Gavin Newsom, governor of California, continuing basically the anointed one for Jerry Brown, so to speak. We talked about Kim Davis in Kentucky, sad to say she lost. Jared Polis wins in Colorado, first openly gay governor ever. People claim broken polling machines flipped their votes in front of their eyes and created chaos for midterm elections. Where did all these voters come from? Joseph Farah wisely asks. Video, poll officials allow tons of illegals to vote, writes Art Moore. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mrs. Becky Akers, author of Hailstorm, an incredible book about Nathan Hale, and about Abducting Arnold, an incredible book telling the other side of the story regarding Benedict Arnold. Great author. She also writes about the TSA and more. We talked about a New Zealand fisherman and a wonderful miracle pulls 18-month infant out of the sea. What a wonderful thing. We talked about Lowe's woes shunning 51 underperforming stores. They act like that's an economic meltdown. It's not. Businesses do this all the time to adjust, you know, flights. Airlines adjust flights to make sure they're profitable. Stores do the same. No big deal. Now, I'm not happy when 51 stores, shut down. But I am saying it makes sense why they would make adjustments, right? MIT professor reveals that bots helped Hillary Clinton more than they helped Donald Trump. What are you talking about? Robots on the internet that influence elections, they claim. They act like that should be illegal somehow, and I guess my question is, if I have an opinion and I'm smart enough to write a bot to carry forward my opinion, why can't I do that? It looks like New Jersey deli owner's father allegedly assisted in over $800,000 of vote stamp fraud. The answer is to get rid of, vote stamp? What am I talking about? Food stamp fraud. Wow, what a sad tale to tell, but if we didn't have food stamps, we wouldn't have the fraud now, would we? Notre Dame group wants campus internet to block porn. Sad that we're even having this discussion, Becky wisely points out. Another Kavanaugh accuser admits to fabricating evidence. There's going to be no accountability, though, sad to say. Andrew Breitbart explained the left's playbook in 2012. All you got to do is call everybody a racist. That's the most effective tool. Donald Trump nailed it. We got a soundbite that we play in our commercials that literally highlights this sad reality. That's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker falls to Democratic challenger Tony Evers. Did you see that, Kurt?
Yes, I did.
So Scott Walker's out, sad to say. Again, the Republicans are pitching this as a wonderful victory. I don't see it the same as they do. I mean, I get that certain things have gone the Republicans' way. It's certainly not the loss that some were predicting for the Republicans, but it certainly ain't a massive gain. It was a mixed bag, to say the least. And I guess Donald Trump endorsed Nancy Pelosi for the speakership, Kurt. Did you see that?
No, but...
All right, there you go.
I'm surprised.
Well, some are saying that it's just political posturing. He has no choice. He might as well double down and support him in an effort to reach across the aisle. And endorse is a strong word, just because he realizes what's going to happen. And he says, hey, you know what? She deserves to be Speaker of the House. Let her. Let's work with her. That doesn't mean that he's endorsing. So I know the mainstream press is using that word. I wouldn't go that far. I would say he's acknowledged a reality. If he fights against that, that doesn't start the discussions off to work together or put an olive branch across the aisle. I think Donald's smart to say, hey, you know what? Pelosi deserves to be the Speaker of the House. Let's get it done. He called her on Tuesday night and congratulated her for the House win and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think he might be doing it because he knows she's weak. The more weak candidate you get there, the most extreme candidate. You got to put Maxine Waters as Speaker, you know. Anyway, it's partly because I think he knows she's
weak. I was thinking he might be doing it because you know how you do that deal where you tell everybody the ones you don't want and then give him your recommendation.
Yeah, if he's backing Pelosi, then others might say, no, we can't have Pelosi. That's Donald's idea. Good point. I think you're right. It might be because she's weak. It might be that reverse psychology idea. It might be that he realizes the inevitable and he's just saying, look, let's reach across the aisle. There's no, you know, choice. So I don't know that I like the word endorsing in the headline, Kurt, or that he endorsed her. I don't know that I agree with that exactly. But he certainly didn't fight against it per se. He embraced it. He called her. And you know what? Now, I'm not saying that he agrees with her on any political issues. Neither do I. However, Kurt, this does go to this idea that I've been promoting on the radio, and so have you for a long time. And that is that, you know what? We need to be peaceful and kind and work with people, and we need to look at issues. And so far, the issue is, hey, you know what? She's going to be Speaker. You might as well say, hey, congratulations. Let's work together. The issues might get a little more contentious, a little more difficult as things unfold, but you might as well start out on a kind, correct foot. And I don't criticize Donald.
Almost like you'd do that with the Russians or...
Of course you would. That's the exact point. Yes.
The Koreans, you know, or whatever.
I agree.
You know. Yeah.
And so all I'm saying is, you know, some are really going, I can't believe Donald did this. What's he thinking? I don't see it that way, Kurt. I just don't. Now, I'm not telling you that that means we need to, you know, be pro-abortion like she is or anything. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that we agree with her on any political issues, hardly. I say hardly because there might be some. We might even agree on something for different reasons, right? But all I'm telling you is that, you know what? There's no advantage to Donald starting out that relationship on an attack her contentious note. There's no value there. So believe it or not, this just comes to the fact that Donald Trump is a very good negotiator. And this is proof, Kurt. So I don't take the same view as a lot of conservatives or whatever would take. I'm not here to attack President Trump over it. I'm saying it's a genius strategy for whatever his internal reasons are. And he's going to get a whole lot more with honey than he is vinegar. And he's going to get a whole lot more by starting out. And, you know, he congratulated her and stuff. I think that's great. Right? So I'm not sure what to say about it next, except I think it's a good starting point. And, you know, right now, Donald Trump does face a tough test of whether he can afford compromises with a group that he attacked for so long. Now, you got to get it. The elections, he's supposed to attack them. That's what elections are about. But the president on Wednesday said that he could work on agreements with Democrats to boost spending on infrastructure and reducing drug prices. And, you know, I'm not really for that, but if we work on spending limits, if we work on, you know, some of these things, that's good. We do need to work on the infrastructure in America. How much government ought to be involved in that, we could discuss and debate. Drug prices, I want to see them become lower because right now the American people have been forced to subsidize them based on law. So if Donald's talking about deregulating so that the free market works, then I'm all in. If Donald's talking about price controls via government, then I'm out. But nevertheless, those are two places that, I don't know what you might want to call it, Kurt, but a bridge could be built. And even though I'm not for a bunch of internal funding of infrastructure in America by government, if you're going to say to me, Sam, what if we took that money like Rand Paul and Ron Paul and others say, take that foreign aid money and put it into America? I mean, I'd prefer not to spend it and give it back to the people. But at least if you're going to turn it internal and help America for a change, it's better than spending it abroad and creating continued anger across the globe at Americans. So there's a lot that could be discussed. Hopefully there's a lot of good things that could be done, Kurt. Now they say Georgia, California, and Florida are the races that are too close to call. That's true. There's people demanding recounts and all that kind of stuff. The battle kind of rages on. There's a big division in Utah, too. Donald Trump said, hey, Mia Love didn't show him the love. And because she kept him at arm's length, that's why she lost. Sorry, Mia. But the problem is the battle's still on. We still don't have a final vote count. Mia still might win, Kurt. So I think Donald's a little bit premature on speaking out on that personally. I think it needs to be very...
Well, I think he made his point that, you know, he said, hey, this lady called me all the time for my help with her, constituent there in Venezuela, but she didn't really, support me. And,
Yeah, and whether she really called him all the time or not, I don't know. And how that relationship works, I don't know. Donald's pretty famous for loving someone today and hating them tomorrow and loving them the next day. So if she's doing that, hey, she's just following Trump's lead. So I'm not here to defend Mia Love. I am here to say we don't know what the reality on the vote's going to be. But I agree with Donald's point that it seems like whenever anybody goes against Donald, it doesn't go well for them, Kurt. Let's be clear on that as well. Although it didn't hurt Mitt Romney too much. Criticized Donald big time over and over and over and over, but yet Donald backed him and he's now Utah's senator. So that's kind of an interesting twist. There's a headline in USA Today that I find fascinating as well. Headline says divisions redder, bluer, and deeper. USA Today. I think to some degree that's true. Time will tell. By the way, did you hear the Girl Scouts are going to sue the Boy Scouts? Why? The Boy Scouts are a little too gender inclusive. Wow. All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I kid you not, the Girl Scouts sue the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts are getting a little too gender inclusive, and it's kind of encroaching on the Girl Scouts territory, so they're going to sue. What do you think about them apples? Maybe the Boy and the Girl Scouts ought to just merge and call themselves the Scouts. I'm out, nevertheless. I'm not interested in the gender inclusiveness. I think we ought to realize all genders come from God. There's these two genders. It's male and female, and when I say all genders, there's only all of two, if you will. Just my humble opinion, to which I'm entitled. All right, Brian Rust, RustQuinnGift.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live. What do you think of the Girl Scouts suing the Boy Scouts?
Good morning, guys. That's interesting.
Weird, huh?
One more level of suing.
Yeah, hey, you're not allowed to be too gender inclusive now. We know we've been pushing for that for like 96 years, but now that we've got it, hey, wait a minute, you're not supposed to go that far. I find that interesting. All right. The midterm elections are a mixed bag for sure. But the reason that I bring it up to you, Brian, is because the economy. They say the dollar's a little weaker. The stock market's excited because there was no real big surprises, no massive shakeups or whatever. They say the housing market's a little too hot, not enough houses on the market, and the interest rates are going up. And so that's cooling off. And we're kind of seeing a little bit of an, I don't want to say an economic stall by any means, but we're seeing a little bit of an economic holdback, so to speak, because of some of these changes, whether it be the tariffs, whether it be interest rates rising, whether it be a slightly weaker dollar. Time will tell, but it's all kind of a mix up that has made gold and silver drop off a little bit too, right?
Yeah, it's kind of some of the same scenarios that are kind of being manipulated or played upon. You know, I find it interesting, though, that some of your larger banks, central banks and so on, are definitely stockpiling metal. So, you know, like you say, time will tell just what's going to really happen. There's the world's still in a mess, if you ask me. So, you know, I think a smart person, smart money, as you call it, would be preparing, or like we've talked about in the past, of just simply staying on that path of putting a little bit away each month and hold on, I guess, because things are going to play out.
What I find fascinating is if there's a little drop in gold and silver, a lot of people are like, oh, that's bad. My response is it's the opportunity to buy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is an opportunity to buy, and we've heard that scenario for years, you know, or you know, the drop. Oh, it's dropping down. Oh, sorry, get out. It's bad money. It's, you know, and so on. But I think that's a play. But if you're not in a position of preparing yourself, I mean, you look at what's going on in some of these other countries. I mean, most of those individuals that could have put a little bit away and probably should have put a little bit away would be in a little better place at this point.
All right. Now, gold is at $1,223.60. Silver's at $14.45. And so I think that silver is more suppressed right now than gold. In other words, it used to be what? One silver dollar and a $20 gold piece. So it used to be kind of like a what? 1-to-20 ratio kind of thing. Then as things slid and got worse, they pegged it as 1-to-35 ratio for a while there before they, you know, moved to completely dishonest money. But now the ratio's out of whack to where I think silver really, in my opinion, is the sweet spot right now.
Yeah, you're right on. I think your ratios are pushing 80 plus to one, even saw 85, I think, at one point to one, which is just totally out of scenario, out of whack. It's just, that's just crazy. I mean, I don't remember ever really at that point where we're at. So, yeah, I really believe that we'll see a triple in silver before we see a double in gold.
And so silver, how do you think it's suppressed so much? I mean, how can that be?
Well, they leverage paper. I mean, they're you know, pushing the metals down.
By the way, it's 84.67 times right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's that's absolutely crazy. You know, one factor too in silver, one of the big metals companies, your Republic Metals, filed bankruptcy, which was a big, it's kind of got a hit on that market. And I've talked to some of my other, you know, some of the wholesalers. That's going to maybe tighten up. We're seeing maybe a little bigger spreads and so on, but. Oh, you look at J.P. Morgan. He just dumped another 21 million ounces over the last month, and 750 million ounces of the physical the month before. I mean, so they're buying up physical. It just it tells the message. I mean, those that are manipulating this market tell the message of, okay, well, we're going to drop it by paper, but yet we're going to buy physical. So that you know, they're fine. It's illegal. They're fine, but the government, hey, this is a nice kickback to the government because they're fining them hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's You look at kind of what's happening out there, and maybe you can kind of read between the lines. But yeah, you want to kind of get them on board. And a good opportunity to buy would be now. Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? Some are saying, you know what, this is delightful with the Democrats taking control because Donald can prove he can work across partisan lines. He can be the wheeler dealer and make it good. This is going to be great. It's going to put him in a great position come 2020 because he's got somebody he can demonize as well as maybe get a couple of deals done at the same time. Others are saying, no, you know what, this sea change, all that's going to do is let them basically manipulate the economy. The Democrats have made some gains. They'll be pushing for greater gains. All you got to do is work on kind of tanking the economy come 2020, and Donald will be on the economic ropes, kind of trapped by the dishonest money scenario. Time will tell. What do you think is going to happen? And the reason that it matters isn't so much to say whether Donald's going to win or lose as much as it is to say, economically speaking, what do you think the landscape's going to look like come 2020 or in a couple of years or, you know, two, five, whatever years?
Well, if you look at what's been happening in the last, you know, couple of years or whatever, I mean, I think they look at it as an opportunity to even tie his hands more, to just kind of, you know, they talk about lawsuits and where impeachment and, you know, all these things. I think we're in a world of, you know, there's a big world of mess out there. I mean, you look at the debt in our dollar, you look at factors, you know, China and the sanctions, and yeah, I don't think it's going to get any better. I really don't. Not, you know, I think that problem is that the Democrats, regardless if it's right or wrong, they're going to fight you. So if it's wrong and they're doing wrong things, they don't care. They're all supporting each other and said, ah, oh, this is not wrong, but we're going to, you know, put the Republicans just fight amongst themselves. So I don't know if it's going to get any better.
I think it's hard to make the economy do well long term when you let the debt skyrocket and balloon like it has. Even Donald, hey, they cut some taxes, which is wonderful. The economy's been booming because we have brought back some foreign money that got repatriated. That's good. Taxes were lowered to some degree, but all they did was put it on the debt. They didn't cut any spending, and I think it's very hypocritical. But I think that's kind of at the heart of this. And as long as you let that debt go unchecked, I'm telling you right now, it's going to rear its ugly head. There's just no choice about it.
Yeah, that's right. And their agenda, I don't think their agenda. I mean, like Obamacare and some of the other, yeah, some of those, the people that are starting to get stung by that pretty heavy. I mean, their agenda is, I think, out of whack. So I don't see it getting any better.
Well, I hope we bring back more jobs. I hope it gets better. One of the things that President Trump could do, because this is Solutions Radio, so I can't have this discussion without providing a solution for him. What Donald Trump could do is he could audit the Fed and eventually push towards ending the Federal Reserve and moving back to honest money. And if he would, we could have real accountability, real decrease in spending. We could fund the proper role of government. We could, you know, go back to honest money and then expect the honesty to transmit to the rest of society. But we're not going to have an honest society without honest money, Brian. Never.
That's right. No, you're exactly right. And I think the scenario, you know, in watching this play out, will just be will be the fact of, will they allow him to do that? I think he's trying to move in the right direction and so on. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, I don't like all the things he says and, you know, little jabs at that side. But still, he's trying. He's doing some good things, some great things. It's going to be interesting to just see how, you know, Pelosi and that side's going to allow him to move forward, or they're just going to continue to tie his hands and make it harder and harder for him to even.
Well, and I'll give you an example. A great thing is to cut taxes. That's a good thing. The great thing is to repatriate our money. That's a good thing. But as long as you let the debt balloon, eventually the deficit will undermine all your efforts.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. I agree with you.
Okay, the economy's booming, but the more you talk about it booming, 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 then the more you put tariffs on, if they're extreme tariffs, and then you add to that the Fed continuing to raise interest rates. And again, they're going to put the fly in the ointment. They're just going to do that. And that's my biggest fear. Well, Rand Paul basically called GOP's colleagues a bunch of hypocrites. It wasn't like recent, like in the last couple of days, but he did that when the Republicans had absolute control. And he went on to basically to say, when it's the Democrats' deficit, you guys howl to high heaven about how horrible it is. But you know what? When it's your deficit, when it's your spending into oblivion, you're spending just as much, if not more, than the Democrats. The tax cuts are great, but unless you cut spending too, you're just dumping it on the next generation. I don't think he could have called a spade more.
Yeah. No, I think he was right as well. I mean, they weren't trying to accomplish that. They were continuing to spend. Their side or their agenda wasn't, you know, to cut the deficit or any of that. It seems like it's just here's my way, and I'm plugging down this road regardless of what's going to cost anybody else. And yeah, I don't know.
Sad to say, it's the truth. Brian, I know you got to fly. Thank you so much, sir. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, Sam.
All right, Rand Paul coming up in seconds. Let's hear what he had to say in person. It's incredible. We'll talk about it. Sam and Kurt in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live, baby.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, before we jump to the Rand Paul soundbite, Kurt wanted to bring up one more story about gold and silver a little bit. Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam, this is headlined from CNBC, pretty good source. The headline from them, a former J.P. Morgan trader pleads guilty to manipulating U.S. metals markets for years. The guy's name is John Edmonds. I guess he's 36 years old. He pleaded guilty to one count of commodities fraud and one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, price manipulation, and spoofing. I was going to ask you, do you know what spoofing is?
Yes, sir.
You do? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Are you caught up on it, Kurt?
I read about it, so I was just didn't know if you knew it, but it was
well, so spoofing kind of means to set up something that you're not. So I'll give you a simple example. Let's say that I am Sam Bushman, and I live at my house, and I have an IP address on the internet that shows me as Sam. But let's say I have the ability to make my computer pretend and use Kurt's IP address that's, you know, got Kurt's name on it. So now when I do everything, people think it's Kurt, not me, because I've spoofed his email or his IP address. That's a computer example of it. Spoofing literally means to create an alter ego, to pretend you're somebody you're not, or set it up to appear as if. the swatting that people do when they play video games online, too. You spoof somebody's phone number. So what that means is if I'm in a big old battle and we're trash-talking, me and Kurt, then what I'll do is I'll send a call to the cops that says, hey, you know what? This guy's in his house beating me. He's beating me and my children. And so I spoof Kurt's phone number, and I send in that little call. Then the cops want to come to Kurt's house to stop Kurt from abusing his wife and children. And so I've spoofed his phone number. So those are some great examples of spoofing in the digital world, Kurt.
Okay. So in the gold and silver world, according to CNBC.com, under this, you know, in this story, they say as part of his plea, you know, because he pleaded out some of this deal, so he got a lesser sentence. They say that between 2009 and 2015, and by the way, it doesn't go on anymore because, you know, they got to the bottom of this, of course, he conspired with other J.P. Morgan traders to manipulate the prices of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium futures contracts on exchanges run by the CME Group. He and others routinely placed orders that were quickly canceled before the trades were executed.
All right, so let me stop you there. Hold on, let me stop you there and say, so let's say I pretended that I'm 5,000 people. I spoof their names or whatever, or spoof their accounts and or spoof their whatever. They may be fraudulent accounts, they may be real accounts, but what I do is I buy and then I sell before the stock market catches up or before the reality catches up to me, and I make money on the differences, and I manipulate the prices, and I change reality. See, when you're dealing with futures, Kurt, it's all paper. It's all digital. It's all zeros and ones on a computer. It's not real gold or silver at all. It's called futures trading for a reason. You know what? I can manipulate the future if I'm good, and if I spoof other people and pretend that I'm other people. This is a massive criminal activity enterprise. But the bottom line is he's just going to get a slap on the wrist, isn't he? And I don't really see a bunch of other, even though he conspired with other J.P. Morgan folks, the bank's going to be fine, the other executives are going to be fine, this guy's going to plea or cop a plea deal and get a slap on the wrist. There's no real accountability for this. Now, they're attacking the Russians for manipulating the vote with expressing opinions via robots. These guys hired robots to manipulate gold and silver futures, Kurt. Literally, quote, commodities that if somebody was to force them to make a delivery on those could literally shut the whole thing down over. But again, this is why futures are bogus and why this fiat reality is lame, whether it's fiat, you know, future trading or whether it's fiat money or whether it's all the same. The fact is it's fake and the fact is it can be manipulated and it will never stop. This guy will get a slap on the hand and the next guy will just jump in and find a new way to manipulate Kurt and it'll go on and on and on and it'll never end.
Yeah. Well, I found it interesting, Sam, at least, you know, when I heard our buddy Brian being on from RussCoinAndGift.com, you know, and then I look and say, hey, what's new in the gold and silver news? Just, you know, Googling it, you know. And I know that I probably should use some other system. I just don't know how to, you know, find it. But anyway, so when I was doing that, I went through almost four pages, you know, where you go all the way down to the bottom and then you go more.
Yeah,
more.
But Kurt, you think they want to highlight this scandal from one of their own? I mean, it puts J.P. Morgan in jeopardy. It puts a bunch of these executives in jeopardy. It mocks the manipulation of the futures markets. It highlights the truth. Why the Federal Reserve needs to be audited and ended. So does this futures trading market need to be audited and ended because it's manipulatable till the cows come home. Okay, we all know this, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to highlight it. No one's going to bring it up but you and me and Brian and a few others maybe. But for the most part, it's simply blackballed news. Yeah, it exists because they can't bury it when somebody really gets busted for a crime. So their quest is how do we report it but minimize it to where it never gains traction? And that's what's going on. And I think you're good to find it. I'm glad that Google can help you find it. I'm more appreciative that you can highlight it because it really gives us a chance to educate.
I think they helped me not find it mostly because, typically you're – why wouldn't you put a story like this, you know, right up at the top simply because
people might audit
news.
And then the Fed if you do that. People might decide that the futures market is bogus, and people might decide that Sam and Kurt and others are right. You got to take delivery of your metals. Dude, if you took delivery of the metals, it would shut the whole market and melt it down tomorrow, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what they say spoofing is in the gold and metal world. So the guys would make a an order for something, but then before it was fulfilled, they'd cancel it. And, you know, they go on in the story and they say, for years, John Edmonds engaged in a sophisticated scheme to manipulate the market for precious metals futures contracts for his own gain by placing orders that were never intended to be executed. This is what the assistant attorney general there up in New York looks like.
And you want to know what the biggest problem is here, Kurt?
What's that?
The government fraudulent folks that created this futures market in the first place, the private sector in bed with government, they don't like other people like doing frauds on their own. It's like, hey, we got a corner on this fraud. You can't fraud also. And so this guy, you know, what's the difference between a future trade where product doesn't exist and a intend to trade but a cancellation? Whether you debate whether it was ever intended to go through or not, who knows? But what's the difference between a futures market in the first place and then making an order that you eventually cancel? What's the difference in those fraudulent activities? And I say there is none. They're both fraudulent. They're both futures. Both of them pretend to manipulate something on paper that exists in reality, but you don't literally take delivery of what exists in reality. In other words, they're both a manipulation on the products of reality, right? I mean, they're both fake. They're both preempting the real market and delivery of goods and services and such, right? I mean, what's the difference?
I think so.
And so I think that the problem is, hey, you can't defraud the defrauders, folks. It's like, hey, they can make money, but you can't. They can print money, but you can't. They don't like competition. And I believe that's kind of at discussion on this, too. But see, is Donald going to bring this up? You think the Democratic House now is going to bring this up? Who's going to bring it up besides maybe a Rand Paul or somebody?
It almost reminds me, Sam, or it does remind me of that story we did about the $880,000 food stamp fraud. They studied it and they saw this and they had their guys even go undercover. And it took them at least 3 years, if not like 6 years, to ever bring the guy, you know, and say, hey, stop this. These guys, you know, went the FBI in New York's field office there said that they've had this ongoing investigation. And I kind of joked about it, saying, hey, if it was like in Marshall Dillon's time, Marshall Dillon would have seen the guy steal a horse the first day, and then he'd just have to watch him for another 6 years do it every day. And then he'd finally say, I guess we're going to have to come down hard on this guy. It just seems like so many times we're well aware of criminal activity, and yet it takes forever to get it stopped. You know, they also say New York-based J.P. Morgan declined to comment on the case. but anyway, they say he's going to face up to 30 years in prison, but they say he's likely to receive less time than that. Bottom line is, hey, they've been
manipulating the markets. And I got a question. What's he getting in trouble for, Kurt? He makes orders on the futures market, and since he doesn't know the future, he changes his mind, and he cancels those orders. Is that criminal activity, Kurt? Is it more criminal to do that or more criminal to run a system that allows that?
Yeah, good point.
You know, just kind of wondering there. What about all the other traders? We've known that software has instant tradability, and we've known people have been using software to manipulate stocks forever, Kurt. None of those guys have been stopped. What's the difference of this guy and those guys? One might bring precious metals into focus. That's what. All right, Sam and Kurt in seconds. Rand Paul's got some interesting sound bites you got to hear. Hang tight.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation. and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, we've been talking about fraudulent money and dishonesty. Dishonest money's at the heart of it all. And Rand Paul wisely schools his colleagues on honesty and literally chides them for their hypocrisy. Here's Rand Paul. What, he's speaking to the Senate, I guess, huh?
The bill is nearly 700 pages. It was given to us at midnight last night, and I would venture to say no one has read the bill. No one can thoroughly digest a 700-page bill overnight. And I do think that it does things that we really, really ought to talk about and how we should pay for them. One of the things this bill does is it's going to add $500 billion in spending over a two-year period. This bill increases spending 21%. Does that sound like a large amount? Anybody at home getting a bonus or an increase in your paycheck of 21%? And yet your government's going to spend 21% more without really having a full debate, without having amendments. The exchange you just watched was me asking to have a 15-minute vote. I've been asking all day. I've been asking all week for it. We could have literally had dozens of votes today, but we squabble because people don't want to be put on the spot. So the reason I'm here tonight is to put people on the spot. I want people to feel uncomfortable. I want them to have to answer people at home who said, how come you were against President Obama's deficits, and then how come you're for Republican deficits? Isn't that the very definition of intellectual dishonesty? If you were against President Obama's deficits, and now you're for the Republican deficits, isn't that the very definition of hypocrisy? People need to be made aware. Your senators need to answer people from home, and they need to answer this debate. We should have a full-throated debate. My amendment says this simply. We should obey the budget caps. What are budget caps? These are limits we placed on spending, both military and non-military. We placed them in 2011, and guess what? For a year or two, government actually shrunk. But now government's taking off, and this new stimulus of deficit spending will be as big as President Obama's stimulus. Don't you remember when Republicans howled to high heaven that President Obama was spending us into the gutter, spending us into oblivion, and now Republicans are doing the same thing? And so I ask the question, whose fault is it? Republicans? Yes. Whose fault is it? Democrats? Yes, it's both parties' fault. You realize that this is the secret of Washington. The dirty little secret is the Republicans are loudly clamoring for more military spending, but they can't get it unless they give the Democrats welfare spending. So they raise all the spending. It's a compromise in the wrong direction. We should be compromising in the direction of going towards spending only what comes in. And yet this goes on and on and on. So we have $90 billion that we need for emergency relief. Even as conservative as I am, I would say we can probably find that. We're a great rich country. We can probably rebuild, and the government can be part of that. But you know what? Why don't we quit sending it to Pakistan? Why don't we quit sending it to countries who burn our flag and chant death to America? Why don't we keep that money here at home? Why don't we say to the government writ large, that they have to spend a little bit less. Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency, when countries become profligate spenders, when countries begin to believe that debt does not matter. That's what this bill is about. But here's the confusion. Some at home will say, we just want them to cooperate. If they would just hold hands and sing kumbaya, everything would be fine. Well, guess what? That's what you've got. You saw both of the leadership of both sides opposing me because they are now clasped hand in hand. Everybody's getting what they want. Everybody's getting more spending. The military, the right's getting more military spending. The left is getting more welfare spending. And you're getting stuck with a bill. Not even technically you. It's the next generation being stuck with the bill. Your grandkids are being stuck with the bill. But mark my words, the stock market is jittery. The bond market is jittery. There is an undercurrent of unease amidst this euphoria you've seen in the stock market. A country cannot go on forever spending money this way. And what you're seeing is recklessness trying to be passed off as bipartisanship. So we've gotten together, they're all holding hands, and there's only one bad guy standing in the way. One guy's going to keep us here till 3 in the morning. Well, you know what? I think the country's worth a debate till 3 in the morning, frankly. I think it is worth a debate on whether or not we should borrow $1 million a minute. I've been saying that for a few years. We borrow $1 million a minute because I think it really brings it home. And we were talking about with my staff today, and they say, you know, it's almost $2 million a minute now. $2 million a minute. Can you imagine? And this is exploding. This deficit is exploding. And there isn't the alarm you should see. But guess what? Every one of these people, you'll see them come home to your state. You'll see them come home and they'll tell you how earnest they are and how the deficit is bad and big government spending is bad and we have to reduce waste. It's dishonest. They're not doing anything about the waste. The waste has been out there for probably half a century or more. Nothing's been done in the last 40 years for one precise reason. There is no oversight. You realize what they are passing is all of the money glommed together in one bill. No one will read the bill. No one knows what's in it. And there is no reform in the bill. That I can say with absolute certitude. No one will read it. No reform. Nothing gets better. The debt will grow.
Wow. Kurt, I know Rand Paul doesn't take enough time to help us with our causes. He doesn't, I don't know how to say this. He doesn't, make himself available as much as we would like. He tends to want to ask for money for his own causes and do his own thing and not work with us on things that we think are important. I get all that. But Ron Paul, and even though Rand, I used to say, is not his father, is no Ron. And to some degree, that's true. At the same time, in his defense, Kurt, nobody gets on the House floor and speaks like that. Not a single senator, not a single Republican, not even the president of the United States speaks like that. He nailed it. He said, look, the problem is we got these bills nobody reads. We don't have healthy debates on things. We're too busy just demagoguing and fighting one another on one hand for a show in the media. On the other hand, behind the scenes, the leadership is singing kumbaya. They all want to just spend together. They've got a quid pro quo deal going on where they just simply say, hey, you get your welfare spending and you get your war spending and hey, we'll all just spend together and we're good. He brings up the reality that eventually, you know what, this is going to come home to roost. You can't do this forever. Doesn't know exactly when. He's wise to not put a time on it. But he points out that no nation has ever escaped successfully this fiat money scenario. And so he literally chides them and says, you guys are hypocritical when it's the Democrats spending. You had a high heaven in the media. But now that it's your turn, you're spending just as much, if not more, than they are. And now they're howling to high heaven. But behind the scenes, this is your mutual cooperative deal going on here. And the real secret in Washington is y'all do it, and I'm here to expose it. And he literally stands up before the Senate and says, I'm the only guy holding this vote off. I wanted a debate and a vote on my amendment, which would have said, let's go back to the spending caps. They literally rejected it and said, we will not even tolerate your amendment. If we had your amendment, we'd have to debate it, and then we'd have to discuss it, and then we'd have to let other people make amendments. And Rand says, well, that's the process, guys. And they're like, not today, it isn't. And they passed a massive spending bill, and the Republicans own the deficit and the debt just as much as the Democrats. And Rand, there's a rare senator that will highlight that, blatantly point it out like he's done. And I commend him, Kurt, because he's spot on correct. Anyway, I thought that was worth playing because I think most people don't get to hear excellent. That stuff.
Well, yeah, Sam, and you know, and then when he talks about a 1% pay cut, you know, in other words, you know, you normally get $100, but now you're going to only get 99, you know, or you go into a restaurant, you usually spend $100, you're only going to get to spend 99. You know, most of us go, well, that's not, you know, a problem. And yet...
And that's what Rand is asking them to do.
Right.
In government, and they simply will not even give him the time of day, Kurt. They just go, when will this guy shut up and sit down so we can, you know, continue business as usual? And he highlights that hypocrisy in doing that very well. The thing is, I don't think most people get to hear this kind of stuff, Kurt. Rand's in the Senate doing this, but I mean, how many people get to keep an eye on what's happening in the Senate unless you watch C-SPAN 24/7 or something? Or unless somebody finds it and brings it to the table and stuff like that. How are you going to even know Rand is standing up boldly to claim this? The people believe that. Just imagine if there was enough media to really tell that tale. What do you think would have happened during the elections? And do you think when these guys go back home and say, yeah, you know, deficits are out of control, we got to do something about it, I'm trying, but no one will let me, that people might start to call their congressman and senator on the carpet and say, wait a minute, where did you vote on this? Did you help Rand Paul get his amendment in place to stick with the spending caps you guys all agreed to before, but now you simply leave in the rearview mirror? But you got to educate voters. You got to educate the population so they can hold the people accountable. But the problem is that's the piece missing, in my opinion. It's hard to hold the people accountable when they don't even know. They don't know the Republicans have done this. They don't know that Rand Paul truly tried to stand up on this. But I don't know where Mike Lee and others are. But, you know, Rand stands up and delivers like no other, in my opinion. He does a great job. But the people just don't even know about it. And that's the reason that Liberty Roundtable Live exists. That's the reason that we are in the media. Not because we want to be rock stars. Not because we even want to be important. We don't even name the show after us for that very reason. But we do want to highlight these truisms. We do want to highlight the solutions. The solution is to start out with a 1% cut, just like Rand is talking about. And if you cut 1% every year for 10 years, you'll have a 10% cut in government. That would be a huge move in the right direction. You can't cut it all tomorrow or the system will melt down. But you can tighten the belt a little bit at a time. In fact, I don't even think for the first few years, I don't even think anybody would notice it. If I have to spend $99 instead of $100, I don't even notice. Right? I might give a teeny bit less of a tip. I might decide that I'm going to buy the appetizer that's a dollar less. I might decide that I'm going to whatever, but it's not a big deal. And I think that's kind of where we need to get to. And I think Rand highlights it. But again, none of his colleagues will really give it the time of day. And none of the media will cover it to help us be knowledgeable about it, to then push our congressmen and senators to give it the time of day. He's right. The system's broken. They got a quid pro quo behind the scenes that is disastrous. It's the swamp monsters. And Rand, like no other, calls it out. And we're here to bring it to your attention. Just imagine what the real media could do and what the voters could do if they knew all that and were armed with the knowledge that it takes to support Rand and others in this effort. Just imagine what could be done. Like Kurt always says, wouldn't that be nice? Wow. All right. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt with all kinds of news the network should be used to use. Ann Coulter's taking the gloves off, too. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate to the Widows Mite Radio Network if you would, please. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.